A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The night of the Passover was known beforehand to our fathers, that with sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith, they might have courage. Your people awaited the salvation of the just and the destruction of their foes. For when you punished our adversaries, in this you glorified us, whom you had summoned. For in secret, the holy children of the good were offering sacrifice and putting into effect with one accord the divine institution. Verbum Domini. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, faith is a realization of what is hoped for, an evidence of things not seen. Because of it, the ancients were well attested. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the promised land, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and maker is God. By faith, he received power to generate, even though he was past the normal age, and Sarah herself was sterile, for he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from one man himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sands on the seashore. All these died in faith. They did not receive what had been promised, but saw it and greeted it from afar, and acknowledged themselves to be strangers and aliens on earth. For those who speak thus show that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better homeland, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was ready to offer his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac, descendants shall bear your name." He reasoned that God was able to raise even from the dead, and he received Isaac back as a symbol. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who wait their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them recline at table and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect the Son of Man will come. Then Peter said, Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone? And the Lord replied, Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, My master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. Verbum Domini. Last week, I enjoyed visiting two longtime friends who I've known for decades, who are now in their 90s and are now widowers, but have always been, as long as I've known them, men of faith. And the one up in Hansville is still able to go to daily Mass with the help of a friend, the one here in this area, no longer can do that, but still watches the televised Mass that he and his wife attended here daily. So they're examples in their older age now of faith, of perseverance. And I don't know if you've seen EWTN's on-demand offerings or if you have Roku, EWTN Plus, but they have so many wonderful programs I'm enjoying watching. And one of them that I watched last week was a Chris Stefanik show where he had interviewed this man who had been in prison for 20 years, and he had committed the crime. He admitted that he had been guilty of the crime, and he had spent 20 years in prison. But it was during that time that he looked to his grandfather. His parents would observe Sundays, but that was about it. But he looked at his grandfather as a man who was really a man of faith. And his grandfather sent him some books. And in fact, he would eventually tell the bookstore, whatever my grandson wants, send it to him and bill me for the books. Well, this had a profound change in his life and his outlook, and really became a time where he became a Benedictine oblate, a third order Benedictine, if you will, living a monastic life in his cell. And he pointed that out, that in the monastery you call your room your cell. And so there's a whole movement within prisons, because they live in a cell, and they're removed from a lot of distractions and things, to really devote their time to prayer. But just that impact that his grandfather had upon him. And today's readings speak of an older couple. We're told that Abraham was as good as dead and that Sarah was sterile. You know, I had called my a priest that I'd known. He was actually the associate when I received my first Holy Communion. Now he's getting on in years. And I said, "How are you?" He said, "I'm old enough to be dead." And so the letter to the Hebrews says of Abraham, he was as good as dead. Sarah was sterile. And yet God does something marvelous through this older couple. I'd like to talk about two of the words that are especially found in the scriptures today, of waiting and hope. I think every reading today referred to these things. We're waiting, but we're waiting with hope. And so today's first reading from the Book of Wisdom refers to that night in Egypt of the Passover. And so people were waiting. They were making a vigil that night. And they knew beforehand that this Passover was going to happen. And they were told beforehand that they might have courage. Your people awaited the salvation that they were going to receive. So here they're waiting. We know God had promised them that they were going to be liberated, they were going to be saved. They waited then for their salvation. They waited with hope, with courage. And then our psalm today said this: our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us who have put our hope in you. And then it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death. So again, waiting and hope. And then today's a beautiful passage from Hebrews chapter 11, this great catalog, if you will, of men and women of faith. Says that faith is a realization of what is hoped for. So by faith, we're already experiencing something of the promises of God that are going to be fulfilled. It's a realization of what is hoped for, what we hope for. And it speaks of Abraham, how when he gets to this land that had been promised to him, that he's dwelling in tents. He never had a permanent structure to live in. He and Isaac and Jacob, they're living in tents. And it says they were looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and maker is God. They wanted that home that endures. They were seeking a homeland. The letter to the Hebrews said they felt like they were strangers and aliens on this earth. They were seeking a homeland. They desired a better homeland, a heavenly one. For he has prepared a city for them. What did Jesus say? I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And then finally in our gospel, the first line, I think, is a comforting one. I like to see it as the Lord using the diminutive. You know, in language, there's diminutives. So we refer to little children as, and adults, we call them maybe James. But little children, we call them Jimmy. My father and my mother, those who knew them well and had affection for them, would always use a diminutive, even in their later years, Nikki and Rosie. In Spanish, sometimes Father Miguel is called Padrecito, the little padre, the little father. And so what does Jesus say? Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, you little ones. For your Father is pleased. He's pleased. This is what he wants to do. This is his desire. He's pleased to do this. Your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. That's what the Father wants for us. And that's why Jesus tells us to be ready for that, for his coming. When he comes, be vigilant, be prepared, striving to live in a way that's pleasing to God. Because the treasure that we have in heaven is inexhaustible. It says, provide your money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven. In other words, it can never be used up. It's inexhaustible. Those are the money bags we want. We don't want money bags full of coins and bills and things that are temporary and that pass away. We want money bags that are filled with the inexhaustible treasure, the treasure of heaven. That's where Jesus says our heart should be. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be found. Now, I'd like to refer, since I began talking about Abraham and Sarah, these friends of mine who are now in their 90s, some words that Pope Leo said when he visited this retirement or this home for the elderly in Castel Gandolfo when he was making his summer vacation there. He visited St. Martha Home. It's a home for the elderly, and he talked with 20 people who are 80 to 101, so in that age range. And in that, he talked about Martha and Mary and how all of us have elements, don't we, of Martha being active and busy about many things. And we have the element of Mary. And so we learn to be people of prayer. And he said to them that they were especially to live that life of Mary now at this time. A time to really listen to the words of Jesus. A time to be people of prayer. Because he said this, age doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter when you're a person of prayer. He says the relevance of prayer is so important, much greater than we can imagine. Age doesn't matter. It is Jesus who wants to draw near to us, who makes himself a guest for us, who invites us to be witnesses, young and not so young. And he said, you are signs of hope. Signs of hope. Well, he also offered for the grandparents, World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly, some beautiful thoughts I'd also like to offer you today, especially for you who are getting on in years. This is becoming more relevant for me too. And he gave this message, quoting Sirach 14:2. Again, he's talking about hope in this Jubilee year of hope. And our reading spoke of waiting with hope. So he quotes Sirach 14:2, blessed are those who have not lost hope. And so he speaks about how the elderly, their hope has been tempered by fire in the course of a long life. That we have trials that are part of our life and our hope is tested. Maybe we're ready to give up, to despair. So it's tempered by this fire and it's actually strengthened, our hope is, through these different trials that we go through in our life. And he referred to these two people that are referred to in the letter to the Hebrews, Abraham and Sarah. Sacred Scripture, he said, offers us many examples of men and women whom the Lord called late in life to play a part in his saving plan. We think of Abraham and Sarah, who advanced in years, found it hard to believe when God promised them a child. Their childlessness seemed to prevent from any hope in the future. So this is the conclusion that people can come to in their later years. Look, I'm sterile. There's nothing more I have to offer, to give. But we don't see that in the scriptures. Think about Zechariah and Elizabeth. And Zechariah couldn't believe at first. He said, how can this be? I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years. So that can be a conclusion that the elderly would come to is, look, I'm sterile. There's nothing more I have to offer. And this is not true. This is not what we find in the scriptures. Whenever we think, Pope Leo said, that things cannot change, the Lord surprises us with an act of saving power. So repeatedly, he demonstrates his providential care by turning to people in their later years. Abraham, Sarah, Zechariah, Elizabeth, Moses, who was 80 when the Lord called him. God thus teaches us that in his eyes, old age is a time of blessing and grace. And that it teaches us, too, when we visit the elderly, it teaches us to not waste our time. That what's going on right now, things that maybe we're so concerned about or worried about, it's passing. And so it reminds us to focus on the things that endure, to have our treasure in heaven, to especially be devoted to those acts of love and charity. One of the ways that you can gain the Jubilee indulgence this year is by visiting the elderly, visiting, as it were, Christ within them, especially those who may be isolated or lonely. It is true, if it is true, Pope Leo said, that if it is true that the weakness of the elderly needs the strength of the young, it is equally true that the inexperience of the young needs the witness of the elderly in order to build the future with wisdom. How often our grandparents have been for us examples of faith and devotion and perseverance amid trials. They are a summons to perseverance with hope as we wait for our salvation, like those Israelites in Egypt. They knew the promise was there, it gave them courage, and it was fulfilled. Finally, just a couple of final words from Pope Leo. He said that the book of Sirach calls blessed those who have not lost hope. Perhaps, especially if our lives are long, we may be tempted to look not to the future but to the past. And it's fine for us to remember God's blessings in the past. But we're looking to this city with foundations that God is the architect of. That the treasure is inexhaustible. Our bodies are weak, but even so, nothing can prevent us from loving, praying, giving ourselves, being there for one another in faith as shining signs of hope. We possess a freedom that no difficulty can rob us of. It is a freedom to love and to pray. Everyone, always can love and pray. Especially as we grow older, let us press forward with confidence in the Lord. May we be renewed each day by our encounter with Him in prayer and in Holy Mass. And let us lovingly pass on the faith we have lived for so many years.